Of Psalms, and Psalm 11 is page 548 in the Church Bible. 548 is the page number, Psalm number 11. Taking a short break from our study in Esther tonight, we'll be looking at this psalm together. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Amen. This is the word of God, and we thank the Lord for it. Let's sing a hymn before we come to God's word this evening, which is Psalm 11. Psalm 11 in God's word. And let's ask the Lord's blessing and help again this evening. Lord, we thank you that we can pray and come into your presence this evening, knowing that our prayers are heard and answered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do seek, we desire, Lord, that your word would open up to us tonight by the Holy Spirit, that he would come and teach us your ways, your precepts, your truth, and that we would see Jesus here in this psalm. Lord, help us, bless us, we pray, encourage, rebuke, and teach us. Lord, we need to hear what your word has to say to us tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Let's read the psalm again together. It's a short psalm, so let's enjoy God's word again together. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. It's a wonderful psalm which has been on my mind this last week. And the subject tonight is the refuge that we find in Christ, in our Saviour, in the God we trust. I'm sure you've all had the experience of going out somewhere and it looks like a bright day, not a cloud in sight, but as you're out, suddenly the clouds come in and you're caught in that downpour. You have to run for cover, run for refuge, run for shelter, and you seek that under a tree or in a shopfront. Those very heavy downpours I'm sure you're familiar with, where you're drenched to the skin within just a matter of seconds. It's only water. It's only inconvenient unless it's very cold like tonight. But it illustrates the point of finding and seeking that refuge when you need it most. But refuge is a fact that many in this world, it's a very pressing issue and a reality for many. Refugees. According to the United Nations, There are 68.5 million refugees in this world in this last year. It's a staggering number. 68.5 million refugees. Forced to leave their homes, displaced, driven out by war, violence, persecution, to seek refuge in another area, in another country. 26,500 sought refuge in the UK, and some 14,000 found that refuge here, that safety that they sought. It's a reality for so many in this world. And many Christians we know are in that category, displaced by persecution for the name of Christ. And we remember them and pray for them and seek to assist where we can. And we thank God for those organisations such as Open Doors and Release International and Barnabas Fund and others which seek to help and assist the persecuted church to get to those places which we cannot. This is a reality for so many. David in this psalm speaks of this himself. He knew firsthand those threats against him. And he seeks out and finds refuge in God, in the Lord, his Saviour. And so we can say at the beginning of the psalm, in this first verse, this confident statement, in the Lord I take refuge, or in the Lord put I my trust. If you have the authorized version in front of you tonight. In the Lord I take refuge. In the Lord put I my trust. This was David's testimony and his assurance. His confident statement. We're not sure what the circumstances were surrounding the psalm. What particularly was facing David. Perhaps it was Saul who sought him to get rid of David as a successor to the throne. Or perhaps it was his own son, Absalom, who usurped the throne, and David was caused to flee from him. There are many instances we can read about David, which would fit in this psalm. But it doesn't matter particularly what the actual details were behind it. But his affirmation and what he says here matters to us today. And we can relate to what David says here. God's word speaks to us. Here and now, and we can make this affirmation ours today. His affirmation, his confident trust was unshakable in the face of hostilities and difficult changing circumstances. He put his faith and trust in God. That is where we find refuge tonight, and we need to be reminded of this fact. Our refuge, our safety, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our present reality. This is the truth which is true for every believer, and it's true for us tonight. I want to break this psalm into two halves and consider both halves, and then we'll think of some applications together from this psalm. And the first part, verses 1 to 3, I've titled The Temptation to Run. The Temptation to run. David says, how can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This whole section appears to be what his advisors are saying to him when they say, flee like a bird to your mountain. And they give these reasons following. The temptation to run. His advisors, his counselors are saying to David, escape. Run away. Flee. Be like the bird that flies so quickly as the slightest sound is made. It quickly takes flight and flies to that place of safety. Be like the bird, David. Go quickly to that mountain hiding place. Find that quiet place away. This seems like a good intention and good advice for David. There seems to be a real threat facing him. A real and present danger. It speaks about the bow being bent against him, the arrow on the string. And I'm sure if you've ever fired an arrow from a bow, you'll know that sound as the string is pulled tight. And it makes that sound, and you can hear, can't you, the arrow is about to fire. And you can hear that sound in this psalm. The wicked have their bows bent, and you can hear the wood bending. And the arrow is about to fire. The finger is on the trigger as they're about to take David out. And it's a deadly threat against him as they are in the shadows there, shooting from the shadows, in that secret place, in that dark place, like an assassin, ready to pounce, to ambush. They're stalking their prey. Can you see the temptation for David to run from this? And then his advisors give this destructive assessment. When the foundations are being destroyed, David, what can the righteous do? When law and order fails, David, what can we do? What if? That phrase there, when the foundations are being destroyed, is about, it seems, the very foundations of society. It's a phrase used in Ezekiel 30 verse 4 concerning Egypt, when the enemies came in and were to destroy the country. The foundations of the society itself would crumble and fall. It's a phrase used elsewhere also. In Psalm 82 verse 5, it speaks of those rulers who know nothing. And when they're in the ascendancy, the foundations crumble and fall. What God has ordered comes crashing down, and chaos follows, the collapse. When this happens, what can the righteous do? You can sense the despair, can't you, in this phrase here. So run, David. Abandon your post. The enemy has the upper hand. They are fearful. And you sense the faithlessness of these advisors. There's no mention of God here. Just of self-preservation. To save yourself and save us. But no mention of God. But David has made his declaration. He will not abandon his post, and he will not deny God's faithfulness. His refuge, he says in verse 1, is in the Lord, the covenant-keeping God. As we've just been singing together, his covenant fullness in glorious flood. Ours is a hope which no mortal can measure. The Lord our God is the faithful God, keeping covenant from generation to generation. And David knew the Lord. And he says, I will not abandon. In the Lord I take refuge. In the Lord put I my trust. And he explains this trust he has in the Lord in the following verses. His reply to the faithless is given as he explains his faith in the Lord who is faithful. And so he says, the Lord is in his holy temple, verse 4. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Can you see the contrast between the opening verses? Where the advisors are saying, look at the threats around you. Look at the enemies. Look at the arrows on the string, and they're about to fire them at you. And David instead, in faith, looks beyond his advisors. He looks beyond the enemies which are there waiting. He looks past the threat and the temptation to run. And he raises his eyes up and sees the Lord enthroned in his temple, unassailable in his palace. The same word could be used for temple as palace. And you sense the Lord is there. Let's compare his rule with those on earth. His authority, his throne. And David sees the Lord. The Lord on his throne, from that vantage point, sees everything. Nothing is missed. His advisors are saying, see the enemies. David is saying, no, I see the Lord. And my Lord, he sees everything. He sees me. And he sees those enemies as well. Nothing is missed by his eyes. He judges all. The righteous are proved as refined like gold or silver. But the wicked, he hates. Although there's still a sense here of his patience bearing with them. The destruction mentioned in the following verse. He hates the wicked. The judgment mentioned here is a serious judgment. It echoes the words of Sodom and Gomorrah, which you'll know well in the Old Testament, which were destroyed by fire and brimstone. That is the lot of those who fight, reject the Lord God. And that scorching desert wind, which was and is so common in that place. You could have all the plants there and the crops already, and the scorching wind will come in from the desert and blow over it. And in the night, the whole land is laid waste. The crops are burnt and shriveled, and the shrubs and the plants have died. It's devastating. And the judgment of the Lord is a devastating judgment. The cup full of wrath is their lot. But in comparison, the hope of the righteous, he loves. He doesn't hate the righteous. He loves the righteous. He sets his divine favour upon them. His grace is known. And the upright will see his face. What wonderful words they are at the end of this psalm. Upright men will see his face, have access to his presence, and experience his favour. The picture here is of a king, and you desire to have an audience with the king, to come before his presence. Will he allow you to come in? Can we gain access to the monarch, to the queen? But here, David says he will behold his face. He will see his face. Of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an amazing statement this is. Even now by faith David experiences this as he refers to in other psalms. If you can just turn over to Psalm 27, we'll see this expressed there. Psalm 27 verse 4. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This was the desire of David all the days of his life, that he would gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. This was his experience by faith, to see the Lord. And also in Psalm 63 verse 2, he says there, I have seen you in the sanctuary. And beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. David, by faith, had this present experience of seeing the Lord. But also it was his future expectation as well. Psalm 17 verse 5, he says, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Sorry, 17 verse 15. Going on in the psalm, he says, and I in righteousness, I shall see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. I shall see your face. And his hope for the future was, when I awake, I will be satisfied with you. And we see the same in Psalm 23 at the end of that famous psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwelling in the house, in the presence of the Lord forever. This is David's hope, to see the Lord, and his confidence is in the Lord. What a wonderful testimony David has, and what a wonderful psalm this is. The comparisons are so stark, aren't they? The despair in the beginning of the psalm, but then the hope which David has, and which we have tonight in the Lord our God. So who do you trust tonight? That is the question we ask this evening. Who are you putting your trust in? For salvation, there is only one place that you can put your hope and trust in. That's in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, as we thought of this morning. We must put our faith and trust in him, to know forgiveness of sins, and to know the reality of eternal life. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ tonight? Have you confessed your sins and repented and turned from your sins and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord? But also, as believers, as we go through life, we face various struggles and trials, don't we? And life is complicated, as we've been thinking about and seeing in Esther. And it's the same for us. Our lives are complicated, and we have many things that we are facing, and we may feel like running. I know that I felt that myself, and I'm sure you have too. How can I possibly put up with this anymore? How can I deal with this situation? And we have that mentality and thought of survival. I just want to survive. I need to run away from this problem and this difficulty, to escape to the mountains, to fly like a bird if I could, as quickly as I possibly can from this present trial and difficulty. Have you felt like that? Have you known that experience yourself? Well, this psalm speaks into that situation. It reminds us that our hope is in the Lord God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So when you have that temptation to run, instead, find your refuge in Christ. Turn to the Lord and find that he is a very present help in time of trouble and in time of need. Again, this is a topic that is pressing in the news. We just turn the radio on, or look in the paper, or look on the TV, and we see and hear of this present calamity about to engulf the nation, of collapse politically, economically. Law and order, we're told, will fail if Brexit goes through in a certain way. No one will be able to buy and sell. We may wonder, what's going to happen next? Where can we turn? Can we escape this nation? Can we just run away somewhere else? We have the desire for a quiet life, a peaceable life, just to live out our days in quietness without any problems or difficulties. The temptation to give up or to run is very real. But again, we should not be daunted by what is happening in the news or what we see around us. We should prayerfully consider these things and show our faith and trust in the Lord as we bring the matters to the Lord in prayer. But though those things may happen in measure, yet the Lord remains faithful, and he will not abandon you, his people. And so he is a refuge for us. Whatever may happen, whatever the news outlets are telling us may or may not be the future, we will not run. We will find our refuge and security in the Lord our God. Nothing can take away that eternal life which we have, and that security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find our refuge in God. And so finding refuge in God does not mean that we somehow escape difficulties or trials or temptations, or avoid persecutions and suffering and difficulties. Instead, finding refuge in God is to find refuge through those storms and those difficulties. The Lord comes alongside his people and carries us through them. This was the experience of David. And this is the experience of so many believers all the way through the centuries. And it's our experience true. Don't think that to find refuge in God is to mean that we'll have that quiet life. Instead, we will face difficulties and experience problems. Wasn't this the reality for Jesus himself? He found refuge in the Father, yet experienced rejection by his enemies, abandonment by the disciples, cruel suffering, and death on the cross, even though he had perfect refuge in the Father. And so the Christian who follows the Lord Jesus Christ is called to suffer, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Timothy? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, difficulties, trials. But yet we're not called to be defeated in that. Because we find our refuge in Christ, we can endure those things and go through those things knowing that our Saviour is with us. And he is our strength and security. He is our Saviour still. And he is our faithful God. And so we find refuge in God. But when we are tempted to flee, and when perhaps we succumb to that mentality of running away and fleeing, isn't that a self-focused attitude? Or a self-concerned attitude? Concerned more about protecting ourselves. And that is the temptation, isn't it? How can I protect myself? How can I survive this? To find refuge in God is to deny ourselves. We are called to give ourselves away, just the same as Jesus came and gave himself for us. So we are called to find refuge in God and to give ourselves away. Isn't this what Jesus spoke about in Luke 9 when he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." It's a confusing statement. You have to stop and think, what is this saying? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. What he's speaking about is that self-denial which we are called to in Christ Jesus. But where our heart is, that is where our treasure is. We're more concerned about protecting and saving ourselves from problems than living out our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so taking refuge in God is to be other-focused. That was David's experience as the king of Israel. He gave himself for the people. He was other-focused. Those who enter that refuge of God hold on to God by letting go of self and instead thinking of others. We do well to stop and to think about that. I do well to stop and think about that. So often our problems press in upon us and we are concerned about those problems and issues and how they affect me. But then we're just focused on ourselves. We're not focused on thinking about others. We're called to be other focused, to think about others, to love God and to love others. Isn't this the fulfillment of the law that Jesus said? That is why Christ chose to go forward from Gethsemane to the cross, to death, to the grave. We follow our Saviour in these things, finding refuge in our God. And so that affirmation in verse 1 is ours tonight, but it's ours because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. David saw from before the event as he looked forward to the promise of Messiah. He looked forward to the Lord giving and giving his son, the Messiah, the one to come. And he put his faith and confidence in the promises of God, in the promised Messiah to come. And likewise, we put our faith and trust in the one who has come, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our refuge for salvation and for life. He is our certain hope. And so he is our protection. He is our security. He is our stability. He is our safety and He is our certainty. The Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Saviour. So when we think about this, as we thought of this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead, how can we run to other things to find deliverance in them? How can we possibly find any deliverance there? Why put our confidence elsewhere? I do caveat this by saying that God does use means in life. What I'm not saying here is we should abandon all help where it comes to our lives. God uses means. For example, medicines. Some would teach, well, we don't need to take medicines and these things. Just trust God and you'll be fine. But God uses means. It's a blessing that He's given us, doctors and nurses and medical attention that we so need. He's given us so much in creation that we can use and should use. But those things aren't a substitute for faith. That is the point. If we rest and trust in those things alone, then there's something wrong. We use those means, but our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then through faith, we experience the Lord's grace in our lives. We are called to trust Him, for He is faithful. And so our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. As we look at this psalm and how it ends, for the Lord is righteous, He loves justice, and upright men will see His face. Who can say, put their hand upon their heart and say, yeah, I'm righteous. I deserve to see the Lord. I've done everything right in my life. I can stand before Him now and He'll say, well done. You've lived a good and perfect life. None of us can do this. It's not by good works that we inherit eternal life. It's not by good works that God shows favour upon us. It's not by your good works that you're saved. It's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that we are saved. Only in the risen Christ, the one who drank the cup of God's wrath to the full. We are proved in Him. And then the reality of His life is seen in our lives as we are conformed to the image of Christ. As that is worked out in our life, as we work out our salvation, as it mentions in Philippians 2. As James says in the second chapter of his epistle, our faith is seen by what we do. It's not by the works themselves that we inherit eternal life, but those works demonstrate that changed life. As we put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, so those works follow and should follow. Our confidence is in Christ alone. He is the perfect man. He is our righteousness. And so we can come into the Lord's presence in Christ and in Christ alone. So we can stand in the Lord's presence because of Christ. And so we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and boldness. So we can cry out to Him in prayer, knowing our prayers are heard and answered because of Christ, our righteousness, who the Father loves. We come face to face by faith in Christ. And one day, as David had that expression and that faith that he would see the Lord face to face, so for us in Christ, one day, if you are trusting Christ this evening, face to face, you will behold Him as your Saviour. The upright shall behold His face. In the Lord put I my trust. Do you know the Lord this evening? Is He your Saviour? Is this psalm your testimony? Is this verse your affirmation? In the Lord I take refuge and I will see His face. If not, will you come to Him this evening? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ confessing your sin and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me, cleanse me of my sin and be born again in Christ. May the Lord bless his word and help us as we seek him this evening. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for this psalm and this testimony that David had. We thank you that it is so relevant to us in our lives. Lord, speak to us, we pray, and continue to speak to us through what we've heard this evening. Embed these truths, Lord, we pray, in our hearts and minds. When that temptation comes to run, we would not run to other things. But Lord, remind us our refuge is in Christ and Christ alone. And Lord, help us to seek to know the reality of that refuge in our lives, each one. Oh Lord, meet us in our need. You know, Lord, that we are weak and we are frail. And Lord, you know the temptations that we face, the difficulties and trials that we are going through, each one. Very real, very painful. Oh Lord, meet us in our need, we pray. May the reality of Christ be our portion, each one. Hear our prayers, we pray. And Lord, in this be glorified in our lives and in this church. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. Let us